Good morning, everybody. It is a great privilege for me to share the Word of God with you this morning, but I feel that there's so many things going on in my head. Welcome back, Johnny. I want you to come here for me for a minute. Will you just... Johnny's going to probably share all his wedervaringe. I have a word from God for you this morning, and I wanted to give it to you when I came into the church when I saw you. But I felt God say, don't say anything. And I want to do this in front of everybody this morning. We know that you've been in the Ukraine for a couple of weeks, and we look forward to hearing what God did through the team that was there. And I have a word from God for you this morning. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we stand in the presence of the Most High God this morning. And we thank you, Father, that we can come into your presence today by the price that Jesus paid on the cross for us. We thank you, Father, that in the moment that Jesus cried out from the cross, it is finished. The veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. And we this morning have a privilege to stand in the presence of God. We have the privilege this morning to listen and to hear the voice of God spoken through a man just like myself. And I'm also aware this morning, God, that I am just an instrument in your hand, and that if you do not speak into my heart, I have nothing to say. And Father, I thank you for this word that you have given to me. I thank you, Lord, that I know that lives will be changed today, because this is not my word, this is your word. And I thank you this morning, Lord, that your word teaches me that the word of God will never return void, but that it will do what you have purposed it to do. And Father, we commit our hearts to you this morning as we prepare ourselves to listen to the Word of God this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you will speak into our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You can throw up the first slide for me. A few weeks ago, a young girl or young lady that works with me came to me one morning. She works in my department. She came to me one morning and she spoke to me, and I was so deeply touched by her. She is a young lady that is so diligent. She works so unbelievably hard. And I'm going to tell you this little story because that's where this morning's message started for me. I knew a few weeks ago that I needed to share a message this morning, and this is where it all started for me. This is where God started speaking into my heart. This young lady, or go one step back, this young lady's mother was a very heavy drinker for many years, and then she went for rehab and she was rehabilitated, and she didn't drink for many, many years. And she's older now, and they applied for a pension for her. And the day she received her first pension payout, she became horribly, horribly drunk. And obviously that triggered something, and she just continued to drink more and more and more and more, and every time the whole problem was just perpetuated. And then this young girl said to her mom one day, "Mom, you didn't drink for so many years, and you were really putting your life back together. Now this has all started again. Why are you doing this?" And her mother beat her. And this encounter that I had with her started when she complained to me one morning that she wanted to go to the doctor because she had this terrible pain on her chest. And I asked her what it was about, and she sort of shied away from answering me. And I arranged that she went to the doctor, and she came back, and I spoke to her the next day, and she said, "No, she's feeling much better." And then as she walked past me, I called her back and I said to her, "What is this all about?" And then she told me the story. She said her mother became drunk, and when she addressed it with her mother beat her with a lat across her chest like this. And then the mother threw out all her stuff and kicked her out of the house, told her never to come back. And then she dropped her head. And then she looked back up at me, and I saw that her eyes had filled with tears. And she said to me, "Dale, ek het nêrens om te gaan. I have nowhere to go." And that's where all this started for me. So I would like to speak to you this morning about this scripture. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. And I trust God this morning that two things will happen. Firstly, that you will be greatly encouraged by this word. But secondly, that before you walk out of the church this morning, you will hang a placard around your neck, which will enable everybody to see that this message is true. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Now, that picture that you see there is a picture that was taken in Jerusalem. And those of you who've been there, you'll know this picture. That is basically what a fortified city would have looked like in those days, in biblical times. They would build a wall around a city to fortify the city. And at strategic points in the wall, they would build towers like that one. And that is what the Bible refers to again and again. When he says the name of the Lord is a strong tower, I want you to see that picture in your head. Because when the city falls and when the walls come crumbling down, there is a safer place than a fortified city. And that is the tower that you see there. Now, in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, we read these words: "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe." That's the first thing. I want the Lord to just imprint this into your heart this morning, that you will know that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The second thing that I said, I want you to just hang it around your neck, so that people like this young lady, when she looks up and she says, "I have nowhere to go, ek het nêrens om te gaan nie," that in your heart, through your eyes, she will see that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. That is a message that people need to know. That is a message that people need to understand. Let me just tell you this just in a lighter vein. I never give money to people that beg at robots. Never, ever do. When we were in Joburg recently, when my grandson was dedicated, we were driving in the car one day, and on the road there was this young man asking for money at the robot. And I don't even look at the placards that they carry. I never even look at the placards that they carry. And then I sort of looked at it and I did a double take, and his placard said this: "Please help me. My house was broken into. My wife was kidnapped by American ninjas. I need money for kung fu lessons." And then he had a second little thing on his placard. He said, "We never had cheese in our house, so my mouse stole the neighbor's cheese. He's now in jail, and I need money to bail him out." I whipped out $10 and I gave him $10. So all I'm saying is, hang it around your neck. Hang it around your neck so that people will begin to know that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. I want to speak to you this morning about seated on the throne. Seated on the throne. Life, as we all know and all have experienced at some stage, is not fair. And sometimes life becomes really, 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 really hard. And you know, the reality of life is this, that everybody, I don't care who this person is, I don't care how much money this person has, I don't care how educated this person is, but everybody needs a place of refuge. And everybody will find one way or the other. And when we look at life today, we see that people find refuge in different things. Drugs and alcohol abuse. Did you know that that is a refuge? Did you know that when a man picks up a bottle of alcohol and life has become so hard and hurt, life just hurts so bad that he just finishes a bottle of alcohol, becomes drunk out of his mind, doesn't know what his name is, and for a while he has a refuge because life doesn't hurt when you're out of it enough. When a young person who has been abandoned, when a young person who has been abused, when a young person who has been marginalized takes tick and he uses tick and he's out of it totally. Did you know that for that young man and that young woman, it is a refuge? Because when I'm under the influence of alcohol or drugs, life doesn't hurt anymore because I'm too out of it to know that life is still real when all this ends. So what I'm saying is that people will find a refuge no matter how, no matter where, no matter when. Think about internet addiction. How people can sit for hours and hours and hours on pornographic sites. Be involved and indulge in gaming online. Social media. Do you know that there are people that sit out there and they sit on Facebook for days and for nights? Do you know that for those people, gaming or pornography or social media is a refuge? Because the more involved I can get my head in all the stuff that is just screaming at me from a computer screen, I have refuge because then life just doesn't hurt so much. Life just isn't really so hard when I have a refuge. We see young people and older people getting involved in the occult because life is really bad, and they get involved in all kinds of occultic rituals and things because, you know what, I need a refuge. Think about despair, which inevitably leads to depression. Do you know that people find refuge in despair? You might say, Dale, what you're saying right now doesn't make sense at all. But you know, when life hurts so bad and you can fall into this hole that is called despair, it becomes a safe haven. It becomes a place where you can hide. And then the worst of the worst is when people stand and they say, you know what? Life has become so hard. And the pain has become so much that people commit suicide and they help themselves out of this life, hold a gun to their head and pull the trigger, take a handful of tablets and swallow them and hope that they'll never wake up again. And all these things that are listed there are all places of refuge, because everybody needs a place of refuge. And everybody will find one. All of the above prove to be no refuge at all, with devastating consequences. We have seen images over the last weeks and months of Oscar Pistorius sitting in a courtroom with his head in his hands. And then they pan to the families of these people that are involved. And you see a mother sitting with her hands in her hair. And you see a father who is broken. And then we realize that everybody needs a refuge. Everybody needs a refuge, and everybody will find one. You know, I watch and I see people as they live this life, and as you watch on television or you just look in the streets around you, then you see people getting involved in all these things that I've listed there. And you know, when I see this happen and when I see people just being caught up in this thing and this web is just becoming harder and harder to free themselves from, then I can just see God standing. And I say this with the greatest deal of respect. I can see God watching all these things happen, and I can see God scream, run! 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 Because life is real and life hurts so bad. And people are seeking refuge in places that are no refuge at all. And the Almighty God says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Run! Running away is clever. When the pressure's on and life is hard and things are not right, then running is clever. But listen to what I'm going to say now. Where, or more accurately, who we run to is a matter of life and death. Because what do you find? People run from one refuge to another. Alcoholism becomes drug addiction, becomes sexual immorality, becomes. Because you see, it's born into each one of us to run. When the danger is there, we all run. It's about self-preservation. It's about survival. We all run. And the sad thing is that people are not hearing God say, run to me. Run to me. In Psalm 46, verse 1, the Bible says this: God is our refuge and strength. a very present help in trouble. Now, I want you to walk with me this morning. I want to get you to a place. Remember what the title of my message is? Seated on the throne. Now, the picture that I have just shared with you about drug abuse and internet addiction and suicide, it seems, or it doesn't seem, it is a very, very dark and a very terrible picture. But I think that you already begin to realize that I want to take you to a place where we get to a place where the Word of God brings us to a place where people can be seated on the throne. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to me this morning. You know, the Word of God is so true. But the devil is not stupid. The devil is not stupid. Das twee goed wat die duivel nie is nie, en dis lui of dom. Nie een van die twee is hy nie. And the devil is not stupid. The devil wants us to believe that refuge is the ultimate place to be. But someone who has sought and found refuge is what? A refugee. And I want you to understand this morning, beloved of God, that God does not want us to live our lives as refugees. It's a very consoling fact to know that God is our refuge. But we have to understand that God is not only our refuge, God is also our strength. And the devil wants you not to believe that fact. God does not want you. It doesn't matter how willing God is to always be a refuge to you. When you're hurting, when you're struggling, God wants to be a refuge to you, but God does not want you to live your life as a refugee. And I want you to hear me this morning when I'm saying this. If God is only our refuge, then we only have a fraction of what God wants for us. Do you believe that God wants you to be safe? Who believe God wants you to be safe? But I want you to know that even when you're safe, it's a very nice place to be. But you only have a fraction of what God wants for you. And you cannot live your life as a refugee. Then our Christian living becomes one of running and hiding, and we remain the victims of everything that life and especially Satan throws at us. Listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. We live our lives in fear, always looking over our shoulder, always wondering what Satan will do next, always consumed with what life will throw at me next. You see, that's what refugees do. That's what people on the run do. Have you ever seen somebody who's on the run? What do? They run and then they run and then they, why? Why? Fear. Fear. And you know what? Even if God is our refuge, and even if God is offering us a safe place, God does not want us to live our lives constantly looking over our shoulder, constantly wondering what the devil is going to do next, constantly wondering what life is going to throw at me next. God does not want us to live our lives that way. If you have found a safe place in God, I rejoice with you. I rejoice with you that you have found a safe place in God. I have been there. I have been there. I have been at a place where I needed a refuge and where it felt that life was so hard. And you know what? Because I knew God, because I learned to know God from my childhood days, I knew to run to God when it mattered. But you know what? There's so many millions of people out there that don't know God and don't know that they can run to Him when the chips are down. And that's why I'm saying this morning, wear this around your neck. Let people see the love of God in your eyes. And when they look up at you and they say, I have nowhere to go, that everything about you will say, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Don't run to drugs. Don't run to alcohol. Don't run to sexual immorality. Don't run to internet addiction. Don't run there, because that is no refuge at all. There's a wonderful story in Judges chapter 9. And I want to share this little story with you. And I'm going to do it sort of very simply. There's a lot of history that goes on there, so I won't do any on you this morning. Sadder for you than it is for me. But I'm not going to do any on you this morning. And those of you who were here 2 weeks ago when any shared, I'm sure you will agree with me that God has given him just an amazing, amazing anointing and ability to just unlock the word, and he's such a blessing to me always. But there's a story in Judges chapter 9. Now remember, the time of the judges, and Henny mentioned it in his message 2 weeks ago, was the time of which the Bible says there was no king in Israel and every man did what was right in his own eyes. So elke ou het maar net gemaak wat hy lus het. And that was why God had to raise up judges every now and again, so that the people could just sort of get back on track. You know, because rarig. So just, you know, wait, guys, this is too bad now. Just get back on track a little bit. And there was no king in Israel. Every man was doing what was right in his own eyes. Now in this time, there was a guy by the name of Abimelech. Now Abimelech goes to his mother's brothers and petitions them to speak to the people of Shechem and convince them to make him king, which they do. So Abimelech's family go to the people of Shechem, and then they say to these people, you know what, Abimelech, he's a good guy and he's a good leader, and you know what, he's got quite a bit of charisma and all this kind of thing, and I think that we should make him king. So that's what they do. Then Abimelech goes to his father Jerubbaal's house, and together with his band of worthless and reckless men, as the Bible describes them, he kills all 70 his brothers. Okay, so the plot thickens. He kills all 70 his brothers, because now he's king. The people have made him king, so now he kills all 70 his brothers. So Jotham, his youngest brother, escapes and later comes back and speaks judgment over Abimelech. Now you can go and read it in Judges 9. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. But he basically says there was a fig tree. All the trees came and they said to the fig tree, won't you be our king? And then the fig tree says, but will I give up giving my sweet figs to people and make the hearts of men glad? And then the fig tree says, no, I don't want to be king. And then they go to the vine, and then they say, will you be our king? And then the vine says, no, but I don't want to stop giving wine because it makes the hearts of men merry. I don't want to be king. And then eventually they go to the bramble, and they say to the bramble, will you be our king? And then the bramble tree says, well, fine, you know, if you think that I'm sort of up to the job, then that's cool. You know, I'll be your king. And we all know that a bramble doesn't mean much anyway. So anyway, so Abimelech is now king. His followers make him king. And he survives a number of coups during his reign and ends up not knowing who his enemies are and who his allies are. So now he loses the plot totally. And what he does is he goes on the rampage and he makes war against everybody because he doesn't know who his friends are and he doesn't know who his enemies are. So he makes war against everybody and he kills people as far as he goes. All right? And then this happens. Now I think it's up there on the screen. I want you to read this with me. Then Abimelech went to Thebes, and he encamped against Thebes and took it. But there was a strong tower in the city, and all the men and women, all the people of the city, fled there and shut themselves in. Then they went up to the top of the tower. Okay? So now, what I want you to see is, these people have now, they're in danger, so what do? They run. Okay? Clever. Where do they run to? They run to the strongest place in the city. Even more clever. Okay? So now they've in the tower, they've closed the door, And now they're safe. But they're on the run. So what I want you to see is that these people are refugees. They've sought and found refuge. Now they're refugees, right? So Abimelech came as far as the tower and fought against it. And he drew near to the door of the tower to burn it with fire. Okay. They're still safe now because now he's there now. He's going to burn the door and he's going to do all this stuff. But they're still safe because they're in the strongest place in the city. All right? They're safe. And then this happens. But a woman. I don't know why. Anyway, let's not go there. But a certain woman. Okay? All right, let me just tell you how I see this. Let me tell you how I see the story. Now, all these people are in this tower. Okay? Now, if I were them, and Abimelech and all his worthless, reckless men are down the bottom, and they're getting ready to burn the door of the tower, I would be quite afraid. Okay? Would you be afraid? I'm sure you would. So all these people are hiding in the tower. They're safe for now. And then this Fromins looks over the side of the tower. And she sees Abimelech. He's the main man here. He's down the bottom there. And he's calling the shots. You do that. You bring the fire. You get the wood. You put the wood up against the door. And this woman stands and she looks over the side of the tower. Now I want you to see this. She's a refugee. But somewhere in the story, this woman takes strength. Somewhere in the story, this woman's place of refuge becomes a place of strength. Okay? Stay with me. Then this happens. But a certain woman dropped an upper millstone on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull. Okay? And he didn't even die. Now listen. Then he called quickly to the young man, his armor bearer, and said to him, "Draw your sword and kill me, lest men say of me a woman killed him." So his young man thrust him through and he died. Okay? Now listen. This for me, when I saw this, it was so amusing. This guy has got all these people so hyped up. Hulle maak dood en hulle brand net so ver as wat hulle gaan. And everybody's in this killing frenzy. So now this woman stands and she says, "But I've got an upper millstone." Now Abimelech, she sees straight away, he's the guy that's calling the shots. So she waits for him to come close to the door and she drops a millstone on his head. And she crushes his skull. Okay? Now Abimelech is dead. Now listen to the last words. Listen to this. "And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man to his own place." To his party oor. What I want you to see from this little story is this. This woman ran just like all the others. She was clever. She found refuge in the tower, which was even more clever. Now, I don't know whether she knew about refuge and strength, but the principle remains. When she said, "I am a refugee, I am running for my life, and probably I'll get killed, and then somebody else is going to run for his or her life." This woman says, "You know what? I will not stand for this anymore." And she gets to a place of strength. And when she's in a place of strength, she looks over the side of the tower. And you know what? The strength in her heart gives her strategy. And God speaks into her heart. And God says, "You can do something about this." And then God says, "Look around you. What do you have?" And she sees a millstone. And she drops the millstone on his head and crushes his skull. You see, for this woman, this happened. Her place of refuge became her place of strength, became her place of victory. And that's where God wants you to be. God does not want you to live the rest of your life as a refugee. God says, I am your refuge and I am your strength. And this is what I want you to take away from here this morning. Do not live your Christian life as a refugee. Do not run always looking over your shoulder to see who is pursuing you. Do not run always wondering what the devil is going to do next or what life is going to throw at you next. The word of God to you this morning is, I will be your refuge, but when you are safe, there's a progression. When you are safe, I will make you strong. And do you know how many Christian people today live their life in weakness? And do you know what the seed for that weakness is? Fear. God doesn't want us to live our lives in fear. You see, there's a natural progression. And you know, God is all about growth. God is all about taking you from one place to another. That's the way God is. God challenges us to grow all of the time, doesn't He? And God wants us to move from being a refugee to being a strong man to being a victorious man. That's what God wants for you. That's what God wants for me. That's what God wants for Christian people. That's what God wants for drug addicts. That's what God wants for alcoholics. That's what God wants for people who are addicted to online gaming and sexual activities. And that's what God wants for people. And somehow, that message is not getting through. Somehow that message is not getting through. And God is saying, run to me. You can throw up the next slide for me, Chris. Look at the slide. There was no refuge for him on that day. Whips ripped his flesh to the bone. Thorns were driven deep into his skull. Nails were driven into his hands and into his feet. Hanging on the cross that day, he became sin. He became wickedness. He became injustice. He became illness. He became pain. He became addiction. He became fear. He became despair. He became depression. He became helplessness. He became hopelessness. And do you know that Jesus knew this verse? Jesus knew this verse. God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And then the dying Son of God lifts his eyes to the Rock of Ages to seek for refuge because everything has become so hard. And do you know what he saw? The Father had turned away his face. There was no refuge for him that day. There was no refuge for him that day. And then Jesus cries out in his despair and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus took the judgment of the world on his shoulders on that day. And Jesus experienced the anguish of not having a place of refuge when he needed it most. Do you know why? So that you and I need never turn to the Rock of Ages and find that he has turned his face away. Think about what I'm saying. Jesus paid the ultimate price. And Jesus, once and for all, looked to the Rock of Ages to find that he had turned his face away. When you go and you seek refuge in the Rock of Ages, you will not find that he has turned his face away. Because Jesus paid that price, bore that burden once for all. Wear this message around your neck. And when you meet people every day and people are screaming and they say, I need refuge, tell them the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And remember the progression that I'm talking about. And when Jesus bowed his head on the cross that day and he said, it is finished. We've watched a video or DVD in our small group called Wounded by Louis Giglio. And he speaks a lot about this, and you can watch the DVD sometime. But when Jesus said, it is finished, I need you to know today. I need you to put this in your heart today. I need you to think about it today. I need you to think about it every day. I need you to wake up at night and think about it. It is finished. Jesus paid the ultimate price so that we need not run and hide for the rest of our lives. Jesus became weakness so that we can be strong. Jesus saw the face of the Father turned away so that it is an image that you and I will never have to see. He paid the price. He paid the price. It is finished. Once and for all. But God wants to take us somewhere. God wants to take us somewhere. John 16, verse 33 says, Jesus speaking, and he says, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have peace. Overcome the world. I have overcome the world. You see, Jesus is sending this message to us. Jesus is giving this message to us all of the time. Do not live your Christian life as a refugee. Being safe and finding a place of refuge is wonderful, but God wants to take you somewhere. God wants to take you from refuge to strength to victory. That's what he wants to do for you. That's what he wants to do for me. That's what he wants to do with every single person who is struggling on the face of the earth this morning. And you know what? You and I will carry this message out the door, and we can make such a difference when we begin to tell people that, you know what, this is what God wants for your life. May you never see someone who is struggling and someone who is in pain. May you never say shame ever again. May I never say shame ever again. Because you see, saying shame to someone who is struggling will help for a second or two. But we need to give an answer. We need to show a better way. And that is what God is calling you and me to do. If someone stands and looks at you and says, I have nowhere to go, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the refuge, the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, God wants to get you to a place of victory. God wants to get you and me, all of us, to a place where we can live victorious lives. Having refuge is wonderful. Being strong is great. But God wants us to live a life where we can walk in victory. And you know what? Someone who lives a victorious life, someone who lives a life that is sold out to God, living in victory for God, rejoicing in His goodness every day, is not someone who lives like you don't look over your shoulder every day. You don't fear what the devil is going to do next. And you don't dread the moment that life's going to throw something, a curveball, at you again. Because you see, you have the recipe then. Because you know all about refuge. You've been there. You know all about strength. You've been there. And you know all about victory because you're walking in it every day of your life. So progression is God's plan. Progression is God's purpose. And then I come back to the title of my message, Seated on the Throne. The last verse that I'd like to share with you this morning is this. Revelation 3 verse 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. You see, Jesus doesn't say, or God doesn't say here, those to him who finds refuge. That's not what he says. He doesn't say, to him who finds strength. He doesn't say that. What does he say? To him who overcomes. Can you imagine the... Wow! To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? To him who overcomes. But you see, God wants us in a place where we can live our lives victoriously. To him who overcomes. Will you play for us, please? There we go. I want you to close your eyes just for a moment. And I'd like to ask you just to look deep into your heart right now. And I don't know what your circumstances are. I don't know where you are in your Christian life necessarily. And maybe you're just one of those people this morning who are really, really struggling. And maybe you're one of those people this morning who's saying, you know what, Dale? Life is just really, really hard. Maybe you're saying this morning, you know, life really hasn't been fair to me, and if I think about it carefully, I don't think that anybody, any person on earth deserves what I have had to deal with. And maybe in your heart this morning, you're just saying, I can't even think about strength, and I can't even think about victory yet. But today I need a place of refuge. Today I need a place where I can just sit down with God, with Jesus, and He can put His arm around me and say, it's okay. It's okay. You have found the right place. I will give you a place of refuge. Maybe you're sitting in a place this morning that you're saying to me, Dale, you know what, I have found a place of refuge, and I really have peace in my heart because I really know I'm safe but weak. I'm safe but weak. And I need God really to bring me to a place of strength, because even though I'm safe, I'm weak. Maybe you say to me this morning, Dale, I'm even at a place now where I feel that I'm really strong, but if I'm really honest with myself, I do not live a life of victory. I do not live a victorious life, and I'm not an overcomer, not by any stretch of the imagination. And that's where I want to be this morning. I really want to see that God has progression in His heart for me. Just look into your heart right now and just ask yourself, where am I on this journey? Maybe you've never even accepted Jesus into your heart, and maybe all of this is quite overwhelming and you just think, where on earth and what on earth and how will it work? You know what? Don't worry about how it'll work. Just give Him a chance. Because I am testimony to the fact that He's never made a mistake. He's never messed it up. And Titus is testimony to the fact that when he came to Jesus, Jesus didn't mess it up for him. And Johnny is testimony to the fact that when he came, Jesus didn't show him a way. If you come to Jesus today with your heart, with all of your life, He will not turn you away. If you're seeking refuge or strength or victory this morning, He will not turn you away. He will not turn you away. If you say this morning, you're sitting here, and I'm going to pray for two groups of people this morning. If you're sitting in church here this morning and you say to me, Dale, life for me has really become very, very hard. Or maybe you say this morning, Dale, I don't even know Jesus, but I need this day to be the day that everything changes for me. If you say this morning, I need Jesus right now because I am in a place of vulnerability and I need refuge, I want you just to raise your hand quickly. Just raise your hand quickly. Is there anybody? Someone who says, I need refuge this morning? Just raise your hand quickly. Just lift your hand high. Just say, Lord, just put your hand out. What is someone who's drowning in the sea, what does he do? What does he do? He puts his hand up and he says, save me. If you need refuge this morning, just put up your hand high and just say, Lord, that's me. Thank you for the hands that are going up. Thank you so much for the hands that are going up. Any more? Thank you. At the back. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. There's a hand in front here. Thank you. Anybody else? This is your chance. This is your chance. All it's taking this morning is just to lift your hand high and say, Lord, I need you. I need you. Please help me. Just put up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. All over the auditorium, hands are going up. Hands are going up. Stop running. Or stop running to the wrong place. Run to the right place. Run to God this morning, because He's your refuge and He's your strength. Anybody else? Just put up your hand. You can drop your hand after you've put it up. I've seen your hand. Thank you so much. Is there anybody else? Just raise your hand.